Welcome to EMP. Let's start with a word of prayer first. Father God, I want to thank you for today, Lord. Thank you for giving us this opportunity to come and hear your word, Lord. I pray that you'll come and anoint my tongue, Lord. I pray that anything that I share will be of you, Lord. And anything that is not of you, Lord, I pray that it will be not registering to the people that are hearing, Father God, Lord. I pray that come, Holy Spirit, come and have your way with us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hi, good morning, everyone. I'll continue to be sharing about the I am statements that are in John. And today we are on the sixth I am statement. So with that, let's turn our Bibles to John 14. And we'll be reading from verses 1 to 6. John 14, verses 1 to 6. Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If that were not so, I would have told you, because I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I am coming again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you will be. And you know the way where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Amen. So to understand what Jesus was talking about here, we need to have some context. If we just read the first verse here, we'll have some difficulties in understanding what Jesus is talking about. Why suddenly Jesus will be talking about a troubled heart? Actually, chapter 14 is a continuation of what we call the upper room discourse, where Jesus' saying and events were recorded while he was having his last supper in the upper room the night before his crucifixion. This discourse starts from chapter 13 and it goes all the way and ends at chapter 17. So in chapter 13, Jesus gathered the disciples together into the upper room for the Passover meal. Before the meal, Jesus began to wash the disciples' feet, modeling a leadership with that is called the servant leadership. After that, he told the disciples that he will be betrayed by one of them, and Judas went away and betrayed Jesus. Then he spoke about him leaving and going to a place where the disciples could not come, by which he meant his death, and then he also commanded the disciples to love one another, and also foretold Peter's denial. So imagine for a moment yourself being the disciples, sitting in the upper room. You came in expecting a joyous moment, celebrating the Passover. Then when you sit down, what you hear is betrayal, that someone's going to betray Jesus, denial, that Jesus will be denied, and most importantly, the person they had hope in restoring Israel's kingdom said he was leaving. And where he is going, they cannot go. The disciples must be shell-shocked, shattered, confused, anxious, and sad. So that was the atmosphere and the mental status of the disciples. Amid such dark atmosphere, Jesus addresses his disciples. On a night when hope seems dim, Jesus provided with them encouragement and bring comfort, hope, and assurance. How? That is where chapter 14 begins. And I pray that if you are going through a troubled heart, if you are confused with something, betrayal have happened to you, and your heart is being anxious, I pray that these words that Jesus spoke to the disciples will also speak to you. So here are the few encouragements that I want to share. The first encouragement, Jesus cares and put others before himself. As I just tried to explain under what state were the disciples when they heard what Jesus was telling them. On the other side, let's try to understand what Jesus was going through so that we can bring things into perspective. Remember, this was the night before his crucifixion. And as he was speaking the words in chapter 14, he was betrayed by Judas at the same moment. So as Jesus was speaking, he knew in the back of his mind that he's being betrayed by one of his closest, by his friend, someone that he trusted, to the extent that he gave all the control of finances to that person. Jesus also fully knew that in a matter of hours, he will be aggressively and brutally beaten. He would be judged unfairly and unlawfully. And in the morning, he will be hanging on the cross, carrying the sin of the world. And would be for the first time and the only time in eternity to be separated from God the Father. Jesus was literally on his deathbed, knowing the things that would happen to him. And what was Jesus doing? What was his priority? His priority was to comfort the disciples. He wasn't thinking about himself or his pain or what he's going is going to go through, but he was caring and concerned of the well-being of those that he loved and he cares. Let that sink in a bit. Is that how we see Jesus? Or we are always there for him? Do we understand that he's always there for us? Let that sink in a bit. That Jesus cares for us. He puts us ahead of himself. And the second encouragement, Jesus is preparing a permanent home for us. Jesus said in verse 2, "In my Father's house are many rooms. If that were not so, I would have told you, because I'm going to prepare a place for you." The word room in Greek literally means dwelling places or homes. So what Jesus was saying that he was Jesus was saying in my Father's house, there are many homes. There are a lot of Jewish imagery in this verse. In this verse, Jesus was referring to a well-known concept in the culture of his day, where a family's residence was made up of various rooms, which surrounded a type of courtyard where all the extended family could be gathered and live life together. Maybe the kids could be running around playing hide and seek. The women exchanged recipes and worked together to prepare meals for the family. The men probably sat together and chatted about maybe their hunting skills, sports, or what type of fertilizers works best for their crops. In those days, family lived life together. And when a Jewish young man came of age to marry, he or his parents would go and find a wife. When the woman he wanted to marry is found, they would talk with her family, and both will be betrothed to each other. Then the young man will go back to his father's house and start the marriage preparation. And the primary piece of this preparation was the young man's building a room onto his family's existing residence where the bride and groom would live following their marriage. This preparation was also done under the supervision of the father. The son who was to be married never knew when the actual day would arrive. He just kept preparing the place for his bride. As the day got closer, he might eagerly ask his father, "Is today the day?" His father would say, "No, not today, but soon." And when the day arrived, and the father would say, "Today is the day, go and get your bride," the son would then bring all his friends to the bride's town. And of course, on the other end, the bride was also preparing for this big day. And so there would be finally a big celebration for both of them as the groom arrives, the bride's town. So when the disciples heard this, they should understand what Jesus was referring to, and that Jesus is going to include them into his family, into his father's home. He was bringing them into the family. And on top of preparing a home, in verse 3, Jesus said he'll come back and bring them to himself. Remember in chapter 13, Jesus said that he was going to a place where they cannot come. So how would the disciples be able to go to a place where they cannot go? Jesus was not going to build a home, a and let them go and find out the route and the direction of how to get there. He was assuring them that he will come back and bring them to his home himself. So using this imagery, Jesus was telling the disciples about his future plans, the plan to prepare a home for them and also coming back to bring them there. Jesus was not going to abandon them, but will come and bring them home and they will be staying together. How comforting would this be for the troubled disciples? And on a side note, this is also a promise to the church, his bride on earth. We may be going through different difficulties and persecutions as a church, but knowing that Jesus is coming back gives hope and comfort to the bride of Christ, especially the persecuted church here on earth. And the third encouragement, Jesus is the only path to reach that home. In verse 4, Jesus expected the disciples to know what he was saying and where he was going. Obviously, they didn't. And then Thomas asked in verse 5, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How do we know the way? We should admire Thomas's questioning here. He was bold, honest, and vulnerable. He didn't pretend or put on a mask on trying to understand what Jesus was saying, maybe just nodding his head, yeah, we know where you're going, we know where you're going. He didn't understand. He did not understand what Jesus meant. So he asked for clarification. Thomas was willing to risk embarrassment in his pursuit of understanding what Jesus meant. And we must be thankful for Thomas for asking that question. Because of this question, we probably had one of the most known and profound saying of Jesus. I think we have all seen on different cards, different screensavers and everything. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Notice that he does not say that he will show us the way. He said he is the way. He didn't say he will just teach us the truth. He said he is the truth. And he didn't simply talk about the life. He said he is the life. So when Jesus says, I am the way, he was reiterating the fact that only through him the disciples can arrive at this home. Jesus was also making an exclusive claim to deity and the only way to heaven and to the Father. So this, I've shared this before, but I can share it again. Like, one of the most asked questions in Alpha is why Jesus is the only way. I'm sure God the Father is big enough to allow multiple ways to him, right? Why so exclusive? Why so narrow? For me, coming from a non-Christian background, I also had this thought. But I recall in the early days of my faith, I came across a sermon where it talked about this issue as well. There were a lot of biblical and theological explanation, but what stood out to me that day was when the speaker said, God gave us one and only way because he wants to keep the most important decision of our life simple. And since there's only one way, we won't be lost on the crossroads, not knowing which road to take or which way to go. We won't be confused. When I heard that, I was like, oh, okay, that's true. That makes sense. For someone who drives, in order to reach a destination, I always prefer that I'm on the right path from the beginning. And fewer the crossroads, fewer the left turns and right turns, the better. Because once I know that I'm on the right way, I can start enjoying the route and the journey. Because I know I won't be lost, and for sure I'll arrive at the destination. Why God gave us one and only way? Because he wants to keep confusion out of our way. For the disciples who were troubled and were probably doubting whether they made the right decision to follow Jesus, this I am statement must have been so comforting, and whatever confusion that they had at that moment in their mind must have been cleared. They would know they are on the right way to reach home, and that is through Jesus. They would know that they have chosen the right path, so whatever comes in their way in the future, they would be able to deal with it because the destination was already known. And also, this path, this way that we have, for people that don't know, it feels like it's narrow. Actually, it's the most wide and most inclusive path that we can have. Because anyone, if we have read the gospel, anyone, any skin color, any kind of background, any kind of race can come and join this path and reach home. This path is not exclusive for some people. This path is not exclusive for some cultures, some races. It is for everyone. If you ask me, that is the widest and the best path that anyone could take. It's not exclusive. It included everyone. The point is, are we going to choose this path? So with that, can I invite Marcus? How encouraging it would have been for the disciples who just heard about all the negative things and then find out about Jesus' plan and purposes. How comforting would have been knowing Jesus was preparing a home for each one of them and would be coming back to bring them home. How assuring it would have been that their decisions to give up everything and follow Jesus was the right decision. And as we go into worship, I want you to close your eyes and imagine for a moment Jesus speaking those words face to face. Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If that were not so, I would have told you. Because I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I am coming again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you will also be. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Are you feeling hopeless or having a troubled heart today? Are you stuck in a situation where there seems to be no way out? I just want to encourage everyone that we have a Savior who cares for us, puts us before Himself. Trust that Jesus is going to come and bring you out of that situation. Let's worship and let the Holy Spirit speak to us.
Standing on this mountain top, looking just how far we've come, knowing that for every step you were with us, kneeling on this battleground, seeing just how much you've done, knowing every victory is your power in us. Scars and struggles on the way, but with joy our hearts can say, yes, our hearts can say, never once did we ever walk alone. Never once did you leave us on our own. You are faithful, God, you are faithful. Never once did we ever walk alone. Never once did you leave us on our own. You are faithful, God, you are faithful. Scars and struggles on the way, but with joy our hearts can sing. Never once did we ever walk alone. Carried by a constant grace, held within your perfect peace. Never once did we ever walk alone. Never once did we ever walk alone. Never once did you leave us alone. You are faithful, God, you are faithful. Step, we are breathing in your grace. Evermore we'll be breathing out your grace. You are faithful, God, you are faithful.
Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for a Savior that cares for us. Thank you for a Savior that will never leave us alone. Thank you for a Savior that would carry us when we are troubled. will carry us. When we are tired, will carry us when we are going through difficulties. Thank you for blessing us with such a great, great Savior. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's also now spend some time in praying for people in our community. Let's pray for people that are going through cancer and having chemotherapy, radiation therapy, and surgery. Let's lift them up right now. Let's go to the next slide. Now let's pray for our community that are ill, but also need salvation. Let's pray for all these people's healing and also pray that they will also know the way, the only way, that they can also reach home.
And stayed upon your robe, with every nail, with every pounding blow, by every stripe and every bruise upon your back.
And let's pray for our community who are going through infirmities.
I can hear you crying out, and you say, Father, I desire that they. Shame and my iniquity. For the sake of freedom, you set me free. You made a way for me to enter the
line. Let's pray for the community, our brothers and sisters who are looking for jobs. Focus. Let's pray for SP New York, pray for Ruth, Jess, and Kelly. I pray that they will continue to hear from the Holy Spirit on how to run SPNY. Also, let's lift up North Korea and pray for open doors for ministry and missional opportunities and partnership in Asia. And also for the persecuted church, that they will know that they'll be having this hope as well, that Jesus is coming back, especially the persecuted churches in the Middle East.
Yeah.
let's pray for all the SP weekend gatherings, both that are happening online or in person. Pray for the Sunday services. Pray for the well. Pray for the SP kids. Pray for worship, hospitality, SP youth, thin and school services, migrant worker classes, bird class, and all the meetings. Let's lift up the house churches that are meeting today, Hollywood, Marwan, and Southside. Let's lift up our pregnant woman in SP. Before we lift, I just want to give an encouragement as well and a celebration that Vicky gave birth to a baby. So yeah, let's be encouraged and let's continue to push and pray for the other pregnant ladies that are going through pregnancies at this time in SP, like Vivian, Catherine, Kathleen, Eunice, Monica, Yiling, and all the others. Let's continue to lift, continue to pray, and continue to fast for them, that their pregnancies will be smooth, and they will have healthy babies. Whoever lives and pleads for me, my name is graven on his head, my name is written on his heart. Can bid me this deep heart. When Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, upward I look and see him there, made on end of my sin because of sin. Finally, let's lift up Hong Kong. We're thankful that the COVID cases are zero and everything is control. Continue to pray for that. Continue to pray that all of us will not go into complacency. Continue to be protected by the Lord, and also pray for the spiritual atmosphere in Hong Kong to be one of that is guided by the Holy Spirit. Continue to pray for Holy Spirit to be brooding over all of this city. Father God, we want to thank you for this time, Lord. Thank you that you hear our prayers. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that that you are a Savior that will never forget about us, that they will never leave us alone. Yes, Lord, Father, I pray that you continue to bless us throughout the day, Lord, and throughout the weekend. Lord, I pray that you will continue to speak to us on how we can expand your kingdom, Father God, Lord. Continue to bless those that are having troubles, emotionally and physically and also financially, Lord. I pray for your blessing and favor to all of us, Father God, Lord. I want to thank you in your Son Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Thank you, guys, and I hope you guys have a blessed Saturday and a blessed Sunday tomorrow. Take care. Bye-bye.